Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Tuesday, August 11th, 2015, episode 11.04, the preseason week one preview show. Can you smell that, people? Football is in the air. Hall of Fame weekend has just concluded as the Minnesota Vikings defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Hall of Fame game on Sunday, 14-3. How about that Teddy Bridgewater? We'll talk about him a little bit later on in the show. All teams are in training camp mode, and week one of the NFL preseason kicks off this Thursday. Six games on Thursday, six games on Friday, three games Saturday, and then a Sunday night football between the Indianapolis Colts and the Philadelphia Eagles. You will want to catch that one. I was at Cowboys camp over the weekend for their annual blue-white scrimmage. I have a few stories to share about that, including celebrity sightings. The Patriots cut Matt Flynn and brought in another quarterback. I'll tell you who that is. The 49ers finally cut ties with Aldon Smith. I'll let you know what he did to finally seal his fate. Plus, a Jets QB gets sucker punch. The Texans kick off Hard Knocks tonight. And I will say goodbye to one of the original voices of Monday Night Football, Frank Gifford, who passed away. I'll take a minute to toast the great Frank Gifford. All that coming up in today's show, so let's chop it in! Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves.
Welcome back, people. It's good to be back. If you are thinking to yourself, Steven just doesn't quite sound right, well, that's because I'm not quite right. I am playing not at 100%, less than 100%, feeling a little under the weather. But if I don't get a show in today, I don't see when I get one in before the week one of the preseason. I really want to talk about some of these games and some of the matchups that you should be watching, some of the players that you should be watching before the season starts. But first, I'll do a little bit of housekeeping. First of all, congratulations to all of last year's fantasy football winners. Your prizes have shipped this week, so please look out for your prizes. They are on the way. And if you wouldn't mind taking a picture of yourself with your hoodie or your t-shirt so that we could put it up on the website, last year's winners, I would appreciate it. As far as fantasy football this season is concerned, there are still six spots in leagues competing for the hoodie and five spots in leagues competing for the t-shirt. I need to fill those quickly. So if you're out there, you want to play fantasy football, please head out to NFLRNR.com and claim one of those final spots so that I could close out those final leagues. Next, I want to congratulate Wayne Skelton Hugh, who was the first person to email me after the last podcast with the subject line, Giants suck. He is the winner of the New York Giants Hakeem Nicks mini fathead tradable. So congratulations, Wayne. See, that's what happens, people. You email in and you can win a prize. Now, speaking of prizes, a little later on in the show, I will spin the random wheel to find out which show donor will win this week's mini fathead tradable. This week, I'm giving away, I'm giving away a mini fathead tradable of Houston Texan running back Arian Foster as I continue my giveaways of players who are injured and not going to play much this season. I'm just kidding. Hopefully, Arian Foster has a surgery and he comes back well. I'm ready to go. Show donors, you should have received an email. I sent out an email telling you what your number is. So basically, I've assigned anyone who has donated money or played in our fantasy football leagues over the last year to the show. And you've been assigned a number. It started with one and it went up to whatever, however many show donors there were. Quite a few of you. Thank you very much. I continue to be very appreciative of all of you that continue to donate money to the show. So I sent you an email. You have been assigned a number. And what I'll do is I will go to the wheel, the random wheel. It's, I think, a random.org, I believe. And it's just a true random number generator. I put in the number between 1 and I believe it was 180 show donors. 180 show donors, I believe, put in between 1 and 180, and it will generate a number, and that number, I will call it out. I will look down on my list to see who is assigned that number, and you will win the prize that week. And I, as I said this week, it's a mini Fathead tradable from Fathead running back Arian Foster of the Houston Texans. We'll do that a little bit later on in the show. Right now, I want to get right to it, and let's just talk about it briefly because I don't want to spend too much time on him. That's right. You know who I'm talking about. None other than quarterback Tom Brady. Yes, Mr. Brady. The judge who is handling this case for the NFL and Tom Brady, he is pretty much encouraging the league and the NFLPA and Tom Brady to meet, to get in a conference, and settle their differences. This is how it all played out. So there was Tom Brady got suspended for 4 games. He didn't like that. He appealed. He went through the appeals process, and his appeal was denied. They upheld the 4-game suspension. And here's what I don't really get about the league. And you go through the appeals process, and you know what? You don't like it. So you whine like a little baby boy, and you go and you take it to court. That's what Tom Brady and the NFLPA have decided to do here. They tried to go to Minneapolis, and the judge there said, you should take this back to Manhattan because that's where this case should be heard. So that was kind of a little win for the NFL. So now they're back in Manhattan, and now the judge is looking at this saying, look, there's a CBA. The NFLPA signed off on the CBA. Goodell has the authority to suspend Tom Brady. He's done that. You guys need to negotiate. Go back here, have a conference. And my understanding is that conference is going to be held tomorrow, Wednesday, around 10:30 a.m. Eastern time to figure out if there's a settlement can be reached. But I believe that at this point, that both teams, Tom Brady's just going to say, I'm innocent. I don't want to settle for anything other than I'll pay a fine, but I won't be sit out any games. And the league is going to say, you mess with the integrity of the game. We know that you're not admitting it. We know that, and we may not have a smoking gun, but based on all the other evidence that we have from the equipment people and stuff, we believe you had knowledge of the situation. You were asking people to deflate footballs. That's not cool with us, and so you're going to get suspended 4 games. And neither side wants to give. So now the court is saying, look, someone's going to have to give because if you want to leave this to me, it's going to get ugly, and I don't think you want it to get ugly. I'm pretty sure the league doesn't want to get ugly. And whatever the judge decides, I think that Commissioner Goodell and the NFL have decided, look, we're just going to go the distance. We're going to take it to court. We feel that we've done everything by the rules, everything that's been permitted by the CBA, and we'll let the judge decide whether we did not do that or not. And if they come back and they say that I couldn't suspend them, then we'll live with that. But I think both parties now are just ready to go the distance. I'm not sure they're going to be able to settle anything tomorrow. And then the judge will hear what he has to hear. And maybe there's a little negotiation that the judge kind of steps in and says, hey, how about this? And maybe one of the parties gives in. But right now, I think it's going to go the distance. They're going to keep fighting in court. I know what the Patriots want is they want to find out, hey, who do we have at quarterback week one? And I'll talk about in a minute. They had Matt Flynn and behind Jimmy Garoppolo, and they decided to let him go because, after all, he's Matt Flynn. Remember, he was a flash in the pan for one big game. He threw like 5 touchdowns. And it was like, woo, and Seattle paid him all this money to come over there. He couldn't win the starting job. He went to Oakland, couldn't win the starting job there, went back to Green Bay to back up Aaron Rodgers for a year. Then he was with the Patriots, and now he's out of a job. But you know what? He's got about $15 million over the last couple seasons, so he should be pretty okay with that. That being said, all to say the Tom Brady suspension, this is pretty ridiculous. I think that, Tom Brady's going to go to his grave saying he did nothing wrong, but until somebody sits with the two equipment guys, I don't even know their names because nobody really cares about those guys anymore, and I think that's a problem. Why isn't anybody talking to them? Why isn't ESPN, NBC Football, CBS, I'm calling out all the networks out here, where's the TMZs of the world? Why aren't they getting down with these two guys and finding out? And just point blank asking him, did Tom Brady ask you to deflate the footballs? Yes or no? It's that simple. These guys need to get questioned. And if I were the judge, those were the first two people that I'd bring in. Because if the Patriots and Tom Brady are so up and at him that they did nothing wrong, why did these two guys get fired? That's my question. Why'd they get fired? That is the question that everybody should be asking and nobody is asking. And I can't believe that some talk show hasn't offered these guys $100,000 to sit down and tell their story and find out why they got fired. That being said, until you get those guys on record saying, yes, Tom Brady asked us to deflate the balls at a certain level, and we did that, and that's why we got fired. You know why you're not doing that? Because the Patriots gave these guys a whole lot of money, made them sign a non-disclosure agreement where they can't talk about it, and that's why this is not happening. I bet you there's been a lot of networks that have gone over there to the Masternallys or Jasternicks or whatever. Please, somebody, email me the names of those two guys that got fired by the Patriots and have reached out and tried to offer them money, but they said, you know what, we signed a non-disclosure agreement when we reached our settlement with the Patriots when they released us. We can't talk about that matter, and that's a done deal. And if that were to come, even if that were to come out, even if a network were to come out and tell me, you know what, we reached out to these guys, they said they can't talk to us because they have a non-disclosure agreement with the New England Patriots, that's a smoking gun. Okay? The texts that were on these guys' phones should be a smoking gun. And the fact that the league and the Ted Wells report wasn't able to get a smoking gun from Tom Brady because apparently he destroys his phones because every time he gets a new phone, he has it. He doesn't want his information to get out. I understand that. I understand the paranoia from some people. Trust me, I work in IT. I know how some of these guys who are up in power, they don't want any of their information getting out. But trust me, I'm in IT. I know how to completely wipe a phone where nobody can get anything off of it, and you don't have to destroy a phone. Oh, and by the way, you don't tell the league that you destroyed the phone until months after they had asked to see it. Huh, that's kind of a little suspicious to me as well. Oh, and it's just a coincidence that it happened right around the time he was asked to turn over his phone so that they could take a look at text between he and these equipment manager guys. That being said, I'm going to drop it. We'll wait till the judge does his due diligence and decides to either A, make them settle, or he comes up with a judgment on his own. That should happen very soon. I hope sooner rather than later, because I really am tired of talking about that. Speaking of quarterbacks for the New England Patriots, as I said earlier, Matt Flynn was given the boot because, you know, Matt Flynn just doesn't really have it going on anymore, I would think. And the New England Patriots still need a quarterback, obviously, with the future of Tom Brady in doubt for the first four games. They have Jimmy Garoppolo, who's most likely going to start the season at quarterback. He is certainly taking the majority of the snaps with the first team right now in training camp. They still needed another quarterback, so they brought in none other than, are you ready for this? Drum roll, please. Where's the drum roll? Come on, give me a drum roll. Somebody, anybody. Ryan Lindley. That's right. Ex-Arizona Cardinal Ryan Lindley signed with the Patriots almost immediately after they released Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn was, not to speak poorly of Matt Flynn, but he was injured. And, you know, like I said, Patriots right now need quarterbacks. They need bodies in there. And I just – here's my thing. We know that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the guy if Tom Brady's not in there for the first four games. Then when Brady comes back, hey, it's Brady's team. We know that. But Ryan Lindley? I mean, there are other quarterbacks out there that could be better, right? I mean, this guy was bad. He was bad in Arizona. In the three seasons he was there from 2012 to 2014 with the Arizona Cardinals, his TD to INT ratio was two TDs to 11 INTs. That's how bad he was. Now, I know the Patriots think that, you know, whatever they do and whatever cooking they got there in Boston is great, and they could, you know, stick in anybody at quarterback, but that's historically bad. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. TD to INT ratio of 2 to 11. I don't think it gets any worse than that. I think you have to go all the way back to the 1970s to find a quarterback who has a worse TD to INT ratio than Ryan Lindley's over the last three seasons. So that's what the Patriots are doing. They definitely are hoping that this judge sides with Tom Brady and with the Patriots and gets him back onto the field and doesn't have to get suspended, but that's still to be played. Right now, the New York Giants are trying to get JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, back on the field, and he has finally opened the doors and met with the team and GM. But I don't know what's going to happen there. I think that he is looking for a long-term contract. The Giants have since taken the $60 million long-term deal that they had on the table for JPP off the table. And he wants a long-term contract. I don't think the Giants right now are willing to give it to him, especially since he blew off fingers out of his hand for being – don't even get me started on that whole firework fiasco thing. Two players lost fingers because of not dealing with fireworks properly. He wants to play this year, but if he wants to play this year, I'm pretty sure he's going to have to do it under the one-year franchise deal that the Giants have franchise tagged him at. He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to sign his franchise deal, but that's what he's going to have. If he wants to play this year, that's what he's going to have to play with, because I do not believe the Giants are in any mood or in any shape, way, or form ready to hand this guy a long-term deal. He's going to have to play his franchise deal out for this year and then hopefully hit the open market next year. But that's all hearsay right now. We don't know what the Giants are thinking other than they have not offered him another long-term deal, even though that medically he should be ready to come back and play for the Giants this year. They're just not willing to offer him that. And I don't think he deserves that. I don't think he's going to get it. Even with as good of a player he is, I think there are times on the football field where JPP kind of disappears, especially late in games, and I'm not sure he's worth the money the Giants were offering him to begin with. But we'll have to see how they play this one out. Now, the San Francisco 49ers have cut Aldon Smith, the linebacker. I say finally have cut him. Why finally? Well, he was arrested on DUI, hit and run, and vandalism charges. Now, enough is enough. This is his third DUI arrest since coming into the league in 2011. He was arrested at LAX airport for screaming that he had a bomb, and he was detained by LAX security. This guy just does not get it. The report is that he hit a vehicle, he drove off, then came back and vandalized the vehicle by hitting it again. Then when police arrived on the scene, he was intoxicated. And so he was charged with a DUI, a hit and run, and vandalism charges. He was booked into the jail. He was since released. When he came out, all he had to say was that there was no DUI and the truth will come out, and that's all he had to say. But the 49ers, Trent Baalke, the GM there, met with him, and he felt, much to the credit of Baalke, he felt that Aldon Smith did not feel any remorse for what he had done. He didn't want to take credit and admit culpability in what had happened, and so they cut him. They said enough's enough, and they cut him. Now, there are some reports that there are some teams interested in Aldon Smith. I'm sure that there are going to be plenty of teams who need defensive help who are going to look at Aldon Smith. He is a very talented player. But I would say be careful. This is a guy who has had second chances, even third chances, and the 49ers were trying to provide him with some help, and he's just not getting it. To have three DUI arrests in 4 years is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And at some point you have to say enough is enough. So I applaud the 49ers for taking a stand. It is tough. I will tell you this right now, folks. It is very tough to cut a talented player from your football team. But sometimes you have to say enough is enough. That's what the 49ers did in this situation. They put their foot down. They said, Eldon, seriously, again, I didn't do nothing. Well, okay, that's it. It's time to go. He gets cut. And I wish him well. I think Jim Tomzula was pretty cool in saying that, you know, he has been cut from the team, but they're not going to forget about him. They're not going to make him walk this path alone. They're going to try and offer him help. They're going to try and offer him assistance. And I think that is really cool of a coach that really has no more interest in the player. I mean, he released the player, but he's still going to hopefully have his team help him out to the best of their ability. And I wish him all the best, but I'm not sure we're going to see him on the football field anytime soon, because regardless of what happens, the league will suspend him before he can sign with another team. This weekend, I was down in Oxnard, California at Dallas Cowboys football camp. Dallas Cowboys are looking very good. They look good on the offensive side of the ball. They've got some big names now on defense that are looking pretty impressive. Randall Gregory, I tell you what, that kid, he looked like a beast, and he was ready to ball out. But here's what's troubling about the Dallas Cowboys. Darren McFadden started the season on the PUP list. I think he may be ready to come off that list. Joseph Randall just got injured. He had something, not a quad, but with his legs. He's certainly not good to see him have to sit down for a little bit. Because of facing some injury there. And the Dallas Cowboys are hoping that these two guys can produce at running back. And if they cannot produce, the decision to let DeMarco Murray leave is going to look very, very bad for the Dallas Cowboys. It is going to be a bad decision for Dallas if Joseph Randall or Darren McFadden can't step up and fill the void left by DeMarco Murray. Cowboys are gambling right now. You know, they had the opportunity. They could have offered a couple first-rounders to Minnesota for Adrian Peterson. They could have done a lot of different things to try and bring in a veteran guy. They decided to go with what they have, and right now it's looking a little suspect. Randall, when I did see him when he was healthy, runs like a beast. But like a young kid, he had some fumble problems. A couple practice sessions that I saw, he fumbled the ball a couple times. That's not gonna cut it. It's certainly not going to cut it. The other thing about Dallas Cowboys camp is there's always, it doesn't matter who you are or where you are, you always run into celebrities at Dallas Cowboys camp. This weekend was no exception. Denzel Washington and his son, John David Washington, were there. If you're watching Ballers on HBO, John David Washington, Denzel's son, is the guy who plays the wide receiver, Ricky Jarrett. That's a fun show. If you're not watching on HBO, you should. It shows you some of the craziness that football players do. And the fact that the NFL has allowed this show to wear the team uniforms, to represent the teams, to represent the shield, it's very interesting because they don't paint these guys. Some of these guys, you know, they paint them in a good light. But some of these guys, man, they do some really crazy stuff. And so when I heard today's news, it actually reminded me of an episode of HBO's Ballers. So check that out. There's no promotion here by HBO. I'm watching. I enjoy the show. Maybe you will too. It's called Ballers. Check it out on HBO. But today's story, coming out of New York, where the Jets quarterback Geno Smith got sucker punched and has a broken jaw and is going to miss the next 6 to 10 weeks because of getting into a locker room incident with a fellow teammate. I tell you what, this seriously, I really thought for a second that I was watching an episode of Ballers when I heard that there was an altercation in the locker room. It happened between a quarterback and a linebacker, and the linebacker broke the quarterback's jaw. Quarterback's going to be out for some time now, and the linebacker got released immediately by the team. That is not a story lying on Ballers. That is a true story. Geno Smith, quarterback of the New York Jets, got into some locker room incident, was sucker punched by linebacker Ike Emekpali. Ooh, I thought I wasn't going to be able to get that name, but Emekpali. And the Jets quickly released that linebacker, Ike. He was the guy who punched Smith. I don't think that Smith was able to retaliate either because somebody, you know, pulled him away or he didn't have a chance to throw a punch. But the bottom line is they lost the linebacker, and Geno Smith is out 6 to 10 weeks. That means he is not around for the season opener. He's not around from week two, maybe not even week three. And if it's more than 10 weeks, he's looking at not being back till week 5 or 6 of the NFL season. That's crazy. First of all, I'm gonna look at the linebacker. Ike Inamkapali. The dude is a 6th-round pick. All right, he was drafted last year by the Jets as a 6th-rounder. He barely made the team last year. He didn't even get on the field but for like 40 plays. You know how smidgen of amount of plays that is in an entire football season? In every football game, a team runs on offense anywhere from 55 to 80 plays. And on defense, you run about the same amount of plays on the defense side of the ball. So let's say, let's just average it out for the Jets on defense last year. They were on the field quite a lot. Let's say they had 70 plays every game on defense. That's over 1,100 plays, okay, for the 16-game regular season. He played in 40 of them. That's not even a percent. That's not even a percent of all the plays that the defense played last year for the New York Jets. So this guy, what I'm trying to say is he's barely on the team. He's hanging on the team by a thread. He is on the roster bubble. He has to fight hard every day just to make the team. And he goes to the starting quarterback and sucker punches him and breaks his jaw, sending him on and off the field for 6 to 10 weeks. How do you even think you're going to stay on a football team? How can you, how dumb do you have to be when you're a player on the fringe, sitting on the roster bubble, fighting for your life to make a football team? Do you have to be to sucker punch the starting quarterback and break his jaw? I mean, that's just dumb. Now, that aside, we're going to put him aside. He got cut. He was released by the team. Boom, he's gone. You like to sucker punch quarterbacks. You know what? You like to cause trouble. You're not worthy, okay? You're not a J.J. Watt. Get on out of here. See you later. Don't want to be it. Don't let the door hit you on your way out. Now, I'm not going to remove Geno Smith from, you know, responsibility here. He did something. I don't know what they were doing, what they were arguing about, what they were complaining about. But come on, Geno. You are the face of the franchise now. They've come out and they said, you know, Geno's our guy. He's going to win this job. He's going to be the starting quarterback. You have got to be a little bit better than get into petty childish fights in the locker room. When your coach, Bowles, comes out and said it had nothing to do with football, it was something very childish. That's what your coach had to say about the situation. That does not look good for you. And so much so that Bowles has come out and said now that, you know what, right now Ryan Fitzpatrick is the quarterback. He's going to be our starter. And guess what? Even when Geno comes back, Geno may not get his starting job back. If Ryan is delivering and playing good football and the Jets are winning football games, guess what? Guess who's going to be the starter? Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's not going to go back to Geno Smith. So because you were moronic and allowed yourself to get pulled into some little petty childish altercation with a teammate, he breaks your jaw. You're sitting for 6 to 10 weeks. I'm sorry. I know I posted months on Twitter. I was wrong. 6 to 10 weeks. You're sitting. You send out an angry scowl picture of yourself on Twitter saying, "I'll be back." Like you're Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator. And not the newest Terminator Genesis, because that was not. I guess it's hard to make another Terminator movie after T2. T2 was like the best. I mean, T2, Sarah Connor, that shotgun with one hand. That's like the best Terminator out there. They should have just stopped after T2, because you will never come close to T2 ever again. They tried with this new one. It didn't even come close. All right, but that's beside the point. Just, I have no words for Geno Smith. You send out this tweet saying, I'll be back with the scowl on your face. No, you won't. The coach is coming out and telling you that you may not even get your job back. That's how upset Todd Bowles is with you and with this whole situation. And that in the middle of training camp, when he's got meetings to go to and preparing his team for the first preseason game, he's got to hold a press conference to talk about how you got a sucker punched because you were acting like a kid in the locker room. Oh, man. So Geno is just as accountable. And I think even Darrelle Revis, the cornerback for the Jets, even he came out and said, look, it takes two, right? It takes two to tango. So Geno is just as culpable as Ike and Moncapali. But, you know, Geno's the starting quarterback, and Moncapali's a six-round draft pick, and Moncapali's gone. Geno gets to stay, not necessarily stay as starting quarterback. That's the situation there. I feel sorry for Jets fans. I think Jets fans probably like the only team over the last couple years who wake up and say, oh, man, training camps are here. Football season is here. We got no shot. All the other 31 teams, even the Oakland Raiders and the Jacksonville Jaguars say, yeah, this is a new season. We got a shot. Jets fans be like, yeah, let's just go tailgate and have fun because we got no shot. So I feel sorry for Jets fans because of that. And then you have something like this to deal with. Just not good. All right. Before I finish out this episode, did I talk about everything I said I was going to talk about? Alan Smith, Flynn got cut. Oh, Texans. Yes, the Houston Texans. Monday Night Football. I mean, not Monday Night Football. Hard Knocks on HBO, the training camp with the Houston Texans. Kicks off tonight. I'm excited to see it. It's actually DVRing right now. I will watch it as soon as this podcast is over and has been posted. You should check it out. If you've never seen an episode of Hard Knocks, do yourself a favor. Try to find it online. Get on HBO Go or what have you and watch this football kind of documentary style of what life for NFL football players is during training camp season. They take a couple stories. They usually take a couple veterans that they follow through camp. They take a couple rookies. They take a couple players that are on the fringe, roster spots, fighting for roster jobs, and they take you through the whole process. It's just awesome. You get to see a lot of the hitting and what goes on in the practices and what coaches talk about behind closed doors after practice is over, the players and how they evaluate them and how they talk about them, and then just how it is for a player to try and make a football team and then, you know, have his hopes crushed. Every time the Turk comes in and calls a player and says he's got to meet with the coach because the coach is going to let him go, that's always just – it always cuts me to the core. One of the things I used to hate back when I played football was cut down day. Cut down day was brutal. And I just did it at the high school level, but cut down day was the worst to you know, walk in and oh man, you see your name on the list. My name's on the list. I made it. I survived cut down day. I mean, that was just the best. That's the best feeling in the world. And I know, that for some of these guys, the worst feeling in the world is when the Turk calls your name and you got to go and see the head coach and the general manager and get told that you are going to get let go. Good stuff there. Hard Knocks. I'm interested to see the Houston Texans. They may be a little vanilla, but, you know, you got J.J. Watt there. I'm sure they're going to take a look at the quarterback battle, so that'll be very interesting to watch. Now, one final note before I get to the random wheel of win for our show donors. This weekend, the NFL lost a good man. Frank Gifford died at the age of 84 in his home in Connecticut. The husband of Kathy Lee Gifford, ex-New York Giant football player, broadcaster, one of the original voices of Monday Night Football, he died suddenly. It was of natural causes, and I don't know the family very much. I know that I work for the network that Kathy Lee works for. Gifford played for a team that I don't like very much. He played for the New York Giants. But you know what? I will say this, that I respected him. 12-year NFL career, all played for the New York Giants. He spent his entire career there. In 56, Gifford helped win a championship for the Giants over the Chicago Bears. He won the league's MVP award that year. It's sad to see him go. And like I said, I grew up in an age where Monday Night Football was the thing to do with your family. I remember sitting around with my brothers and my dad, and I watched those games with Gifford and Dandy Don and Howard Cosell, and the way they talked about the game was awesome. And I'll just leave you with this before I give him a moment of silence. As his colleague Dandy Don would often sing, "Turn off the lights, the party's over." Rest in peace, Mr. Gifford. Thank you for all the memories, and hopefully you can play some football again in the sky. All right. Thank you very much for continuing to tune in and listen. This is a new segment here that I'm doing for what I call the great people of NFL Rants and Raves. Those great people happen to be my show donors. These are those of you who keep the show going, who keep helping me, pay for producing the podcast. I mean, it costs some money. I got to have web servers and the equipment that I use to record, and all of that stuff has to stay up to date and up to par. And I get to do it because there are a ton of you who are very generous and continue to donate to the show. I feel I've been lax with kind of giving you little extra tchotchkes and stuff. So I'm doing this new little thing. If you're a show donor, you received an email with your number. This week's prize, as I said, is an Arian Foster Fathead, mini Fathead tradable card. It's really cool. I got some of these players on my wall here in the Rave Cave. Right now, I'm going to the random.org spinning wheel of mayhem. All right. And I'm putting in the numbers right now, and we're going to generate a number. Bloop, 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 bloop. And I've got the number 70. 70. If your number is 70, you are this week's winner. I'm going to go down my list. Let's see. 70. Doc Rob Olson from Seattle is the winner of week one. And I will take the generator and match them up here to 70. And there you go, 70. Doc Rob Olson, congratulations. You got Arian Foster mini Fathead collectible. That will be going up to you. I see that I don't think I have an address, Doc Rob. So please respond to the email that you got so that I can know where to ship your prize to. And once again, every other show donor out there, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate all your donations that keep coming in. It's really cool of you to do that. I appreciate it. And although I may not say it as much, thank you, thank you, thank you. Everyone else, if you want to join in on the fun and become a show donor, head out to NFLRNR.com. Throw the show a bone and we'll add you to the spinning wheel of fun with the random generator, which is really cool. Once again, rest in peace, Frank Gifford. Thank you to everyone else for joining in and listening. It's a short show today. Like I said, not feeling all that great. But before I go, I will tell you about week one of the preseason. As I said, it starts Thursday. Some pretty good games this Thursday. The Dallas Cowboys travel to San Diego to face the Chargers, and Green Bay is at New England. So I'm not sure we'll see Aaron Rodgers, but you may want to tune into that one to see how Jimmy Garoppolo is going to fare, because I'm sure he's going to get his fair share of snaps with the first team. Also, on Friday, the Pittsburgh Steelers play Jacksonville, and Denver plays the Seattle Seahawks up in Seattle. Saturday, a good one to watch will be San Francisco at Houston. That's going to tell us a lot about the San Francisco 49ers and what Jim Tomzula is going to be doing with that squad, because I tell you, they have lost a lot of players and personnel. It's literally a completely different atmosphere in San Francisco right now. And as I said, the lone game on Sunday, Indianapolis at Philadelphia, you'll want to see the monstrosity, the Frankenstein team that Chip Kelly has put together up in Philly. We'll get to see that then. For now, I'm Stephen Miranda. Thank you very much for listening. I hope to do a podcast one a week, every week until the season starts, and then we'll kick in our two podcasts per week as per usual. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Stephen Miranda, and I'm out.